Welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show with Steve and Trish. Trish, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Soup or salad?
Oh my goodness. Why is it you ask me questions that seem so easy? That's a hard one. Okay, so right now, because I have quarantine with, I'm going to say salad.
All right, that's it. That's the whole question. I'm going salad too, for the record.
Are you?
Yes.
No, wait, okay, so like just plain salad, or do you have like fruit in the salad? Like, come on, tell the.
I'd go Caesar if it was really offered to me every time. I'd take the Caesar.
Wow. Yeah,
I would. Okay. So our guest I see is nodding. We're going to ask him that same question here in a second. Trish, let's get on to the show. We are super excited today to have with us Chris Leone, the Senior Vice President of Development for Oracle Cloud Human Capital Management. In this role, Chris is responsible for the strategy, product management, product development, and go-to-market functions that deliver modern HR in the cloud to global users. We've been trying to get him on the show for 10 years. Chris, welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. How are you?
Great. It is great to be here. And I've been wanting to come on with you two. You two are fantastic. So thank you for having me.
Chris, soup or salad? What's your call?
You know, I'll go salad. Right. Yeah. I heard a knockout question. I know we're supposed to keep this real, but I heard a knockout question of ranch or blue cheese. Is that like a thing? Yeah. Like, so the knockout, I guess you have to pick blue cheese. So
I think you do.
Same.
Yeah.
I agree with that, especially like on a burger. I'm a big blue cheese on a burger person.
Yeah. Yeah. Ranch feels like you're being punished, or you lost a bet or something.
Right? Yes.
So. Well, Chris, I'm not kidding. We have been trying to get you on the show forever. You're a great speaker, a great HCM thought leader. We love seeing you present every year at Open World and the HCM events where you kind of passionately talk about the Oracle HCM cloud products. First question for you, because it's super exciting, all the innovation, all the updates that have come out that are being announced. My question is this. Oracle and HCM and development teams and the support teams, et cetera, you've gone through this 9 months of 7 months of pandemic. How are you guys continuing to deliver? Like, how have you just kept your team together, keep focusing on the targets and supporting customers, just organizationally? How have you pulled that off?
Yeah, you know, I think, I don't think it's been super easy. I think at the beginning, you know, there was a certain level of, I don't want to say excitement, but people, it was new and it was different working from home. And, you know, I think people were really enthusiastic. So we actually saw productivity kind of spike a little bit. And we look at it as code check-ins and things we can measure. And so productivity kind of spiked. And then, you know, like 3 months in, it started to get tough. And we did the usual things, you know, like checking in, having fun, you know, sessions or whatever.
Yeah.
But 3 months in, it started to wane a little bit. And so we had to think about new ideas of what we can do. And so we've done a number of fun contests, you know, development contests where, you know, we've put goals out there as far as what we want to achieve, and then did prizes and, you know, and announced it to the organization to try to keep things a little bit different and spicy and mm-hmm. fun. But it's, you know, I'm ready to get back to the office. It's been a lot.
It is easier. I think too, you know, Steve and I have both worked in product. We were just kind of joking before we started here and been users of Oracle products for years as, you know, practitioners as well. But from a development perspective too, I mean, do you think that whether you're, you know, together or apart, are you seeing that maybe there's more innovation coming from going through it as your customers are going through it, right? Because it's not a, you know, it's all of us.
Yep.
Do you think that that's helping develop HCM of the future a little bit because you're seeing how your own employees are having to work through, you know, just people experience and sort of that journey that they're on with Oracle?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. You know, I think I've gotten more from understanding kind of how our employees are, what they're going through and how they need to work. But also I think talking to our customers. So we created this, we have this Customer Cloud Connect, which is our online forum. And I won't spend a ton of time on it. You probably heard me talk about in the past. We have customers come and ask questions, and we create a COVID forum, but just customers reaching out with like, this is what they have to do during the disruption, whether it's furloughs or change absence plans or absence types or, you know, have people sign documents when they're coming back to work, and how can you help us do that in the system? And we need to move quickly. And so what I've learned is, we need to make our systems a lot simpler to use and change and configure really quickly. And we were kind of on that path. We had, and you know how I love our product, but we're kind of on that path and around the Experience Design Studio and try to make things easier for the HR person to make changes versus IT. And this has really just accelerated that. Like, how can we, like, an HR person has to go take care of business and they need to do it like in like hours. How can we continue to think about that kind of problem and helping them solve that problem? So for me, it's been kind of more of a wake-up call on simplicity and making it easier to change and configure the system and personalize it. And so I think we were on the right path, but, you know, it probably helped us think about how we can accelerate that a little bit more.
Yeah, Chris, yeah. You said something that kind of triggered like a follow-up for me, which is this. I know with a company like Oracle, the HCM roadmap is well thought out. It's documented, it's planned, right? You're aligning your teams to hit certain targets at a certain time, and then pandemic shows up, right? So I'd love to know just how significantly did your development and design development and deployment plans change from pandemic, and how did that kind of influence how you're delivering the products you're delivering right now?
To be honest, most of what we were delivering didn't change that much, primarily because we do plan and we did have a pretty organized plan. You know, I would say some things around the edges, change, and we emphasized pushing some things out. I would say the Experience Design Studio, we had these libraries of rules that, you know, were kind of on the shelf and we weren't sure like how quickly we were going to push them into product and get them out. I think that accelerated. So this whole autocomplete area where we were in early adopter phase for a couple releases because we wanted to kind of flush some things out. I think we pushed that out much more quickly than maybe we would have. So I think we accelerated some things in the roadmap more so than we did. The other thing we did, it helped, which is really interesting. We've had a workforce health and safety module for a long time. It's been out for a couple of years, right? And we probably honestly had maybe 100 customers using it. And so we were kind of slow, I think I call it slow rolling the features or whatever. And then all of a sudden the pandemic hits and everybody's like, hey, how do I track like COVID incidents or workplace incidents? And then we're like, hey, you know, we have a module that literally does that. And so we put that on the front burner, so to speak, and we created this employee care package with employee health and safety at the center of it and offered it free to our customers. And it was funny, people are used to Oracle, maybe not always doing the free stuff. So we said, hey, we're going to give this to you for free for the next 12 months at least, or as long as you need to manage it through the pandemic. And that was received really, really well. So I think, and we've had, I think, 150 customers uptake it and deploy it in production. So it's been one of these things where we had a product and it was kind of there and we kind of pushed it to the forefront and been helping customers get live on it and configure it. So I think it's kind of changed from that yeah, perspective.
Great. Thank you.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I know we did a show a couple months ago about that exact module. And one of the things I find really interesting about Oracle is because of the size of your teams, you do have that ability to sort of have these modules that are at least started and could be brought to the front really quickly, where I think sometimes vendors struggle if they had nothing in place. Yeah. And then they have a small development team, they have to like shift gears and try and like play catch up. So I do think that is one benefit, and not just like you said, not just for Oracle current customers, but something that, going forward, I think customers or potential customers could say, look, Oracle is sort of thinking about these things always, right? So in times of trouble, they can sort of elevate them and get up to speed really quickly. I think that's fairly unique in our industry.
Yeah, I mean, we do have a roadmap and we do have an execution plan. We do have project on the shelf. And I always say there's projects on the shelf that never see the light of day. And I don't call them science project, but we do have things that we're working on to see if like interesting new technologies, how we're going to apply them, or interesting new investments and features. And sometimes we just like say, we're not going to go forward with that, or it's not the right time. And then sometimes we pull things off the shelf, like this whole autocomplete area in the Experience Design Studio was something that we've been working on behind the scenes for years. And then finally, we just said, now's the time. And then we put it in and we put it into production. Same with Opportunity Marketplace. So I don't know if we're going to talk about it. Opportunity Marketplace is one we've had and we've been like developing behind the scenes for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was just one of these things like, when are we going to release it? We had been working on it. It's part of Recruiting Cloud. And we had designed it to be more for talent mobility. So building up your skills, taking temporary assignments and building skills around new things that you want to eventually move into. And a number of our customers said, hey, we have this like short-term problem where we've had this major disruption and we need to move some people quickly onto other projects. Do you have anything that does that? And we're like, yeah, I mean, we do. And so we literally pushed this to the front again. Then this is something that we were really, it was out there. It was in our production code, but we really pushed it to the front. And a number of customers have literally used it to mobilize talent around virtual conferences or virtual webcasts, you know, and really helping fill a short-term gap with talent they already have in the organization.
Yeah, Chris, I've had the opportunity to see Opportunity Marketplace demoed a couple of times recently, and it's fantastic. Simple to use, you talked about a little bit earlier, Chris, and I think that was one of the key features that I've seen in Opportunity Marketplace, that how quickly, say, a project manager can create a temporary assignment or a gig, post it out to the community, have that be pushed based on profiles and you know, best fit matches, right, to the right people, and put it right on their homepage, right up on the top, and they apply to it. I'm describing your product to you. I hope I'm getting it right, but they can apply to that gig and be assigned to that temporary role like within minutes. It's a really, really cool piece of technology.
I also tattle on us both a little bit because Steve and I, we do a lot of speaking engagements sometimes for the same, you know, different conferences or whatnot, and sometimes not. And we don't usually tell each other what we're writing about. And we actually found out after the fact, we both mentioned and used Opportunity Marketplace, Oracle Opportunity Marketplace, in our HR Tech China presentations. So there awesome. You go. It's, you know, and in all fairness, I mean, as analysts and consultants, it's like, we're not told to promote one or another. It's really about what's truly interesting and what's easy and simple and meaningful. And so I think that says a lot too, when you have people who are not even talking about it, who are like coming to the same conclusion. So, yeah.
I always say, you know, you both have come to, which I thank you, come to our user conference over the years. And I'm pretty transparent when I talk to our customers. And, you know, I will tell you, like, 3 years ago, I wasn't happy with our user experience and kind of where we were at in the market. And I was transparent. I would tell our users, like, we got to do better. And I think if you see what we're producing now and where the product has emerged, and Opportunity Marketplace is a great one, and Steve, you spoke about it, it really is a beautiful user experience. It's super simple. And I just think from where we were, we really just put our heads down and said, hey, you know, the usability and experience of our product is so important. Yeah. We need to get things right. So while it's functional and does cool things, it's super simple, even at the expense of, I mean, and you used Oracle back in the day, e-business suite, customers will push as many features on you as possible. It's like, hey, yeah, we need like 62 more of these things, right? And we even at the expense of saying, no, we got to keep it simple. And these gigs are lightweight. They're not, it's not a requisition, right? It's yeah, a lightweight thing. So anyway, so thanks for calling out the simplicity, but yeah, the reality is, I mean, we plan for simplicity. And sometimes that's literally saying no to all of the kind of, added a little bit of bloat that sometimes they want.
Yeah, because I mean, customers will ask for those things, and they'll also like configure things in ways that kind of sub-optimizes the software. My favorite old Oracle story was I was at a client, I was consulting at the time, and they made me create a job requisition approval, oddly enough, job requisition approval workflow that had like a 12-person approval chain. You know, with different yep, brands, went up the hierarchy for a while, then it took a left turn, then went swung back around, had a detour to the budget office. Someone, you know, the tool was so powerful, it would do it. Oracle Workflow supported it. We made it work. It did work. And it was so dumb. And yeah, and requisitions would take a month to approve. So yeah, that's a real thing.
Trust me, I've seen, and you both have been in this industry a long time, some of the ones, we have some of our great customers in India that have for their termination or offboarding process, an absconding component, which is you need to check if they have any outstanding loans from the bank that would prevent them from leaving the organization. They're like, Chris, when is that feature coming? I'm like, well, you know, that one's probably not going to be there. I think that's probably not part of, you know, the standard offboarding process, but we've seen it all.
Chris, we I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think too, that's the interesting part of being in the industry though, is if the longer you're in, I think you do start seeing it from all those angles, because I've been the HR leader where like someone is asking me, can we get them to add in to check and see if someone is a smoker or not, you know, into some workflow. And I'm like, no, we can't, no, we're not for purpose of, like, to fire them. And I'm like, no, we cannot do that. But then being on a product side where you're really having to do the pushback on customers. But I think what I've learned over the years, and this is where I think things like Opportunity Marketplace or just your experience design studio in itself, it's really important that you know where to push back and not take kind of those detours that a customer might want to, and to be able to have a conversation with a customer or a potential customer and say, we feel like this is the best approach and the best, you know, this is what we're seeing from our collection of other customers who do this process in a different way. So I felt like even when I remember back to, I know it was EBS, but still my first time going through that experience was we had a lot of processes that just weren't that effective. And it was our experience working with our consultants from Oracle coming to us and saying, you all need to consider changing the way you do things and here's why. And we did, and it worked out much better. So I think that partnership is what's important too when you're working with a vendor, is making sure they feel comfortable to tell you your process is probably not giving you the best outcome, even though that's the way you've done it for the last 10, 20 years, right? So I appreciate the fact that you have people that are trained in the art of having that conversation, because that's a difficult one to push back on. It's not just as simple as adding a field.
Yeah.
Right? For the sake of adding a field.
I agree. I think, and Tricky, you bring up a really good point. One of the other things that I'm really proud about is from not only from a user experience, but from a customer relationship or partnership perspective, I think we've evolved so much in the partnerships, the customers that we work with day to day. And I think if you speak to our customers, they will say, we really do listen. I mean, one of the statistics or metrics that I am proud about, but I also push my team on, is we source about, you know, sometimes it's a little bit less, sometimes it's a little bit more, about 80% of all of our features that make it into the product come from customer requests, whether that's through a one-on-one partnership or through our ideas lab. So we really have become better listeners, I would say, and better partners with our customers. And I think they would attest to that. I mean, we've come a long way, and the customer relationships that we have are great. I mean, my phone will light up with texts if something's going wrong or if customer has a concern or an issue. I mean, literally the number of, it's been very quiet. So we don't have that happen very often, but if something does happen, customers feel like they can reach out to me like that and we'll respond. And I love that. I think it's so different in the cloud than it is on premise. I mean, I just love the relationships and partnership you can have. And you can ask them for anything. I mean, if you need help, or here's a use case, and can we meet with your users and see, like, what do they think? And that helps us so much, because my product managers are great, but we live in a sterile environment, you know? Yeah. And getting to the real heart of what people do day to day makes such a big difference in the products that we deliver.
Yeah, Chris, I want to talk, we've been talking about some of the products, some things in the new release, and I want to talk a little bit more about it, or give you the opportunity to talk more about it as a product guy. But before that, and you sort of answered half of this question already, but the question I wanted to ask you was, as a product leader, kind of the balance, right, between what we're going to build, right, and what we're going to provide to the customers, and you're balancing between what the customers are asking for. There's also kind of what the market, where the market's going a little bit. And then it's your own kind of thoughts and your team's innovations themselves and ideas. So you mentioned the 80% of the customer requests. I wonder, how do you just balance those three kinds of drivers of the decisions you make around what you're going to build?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. That's pretty much how we look at it. So the first one I bucket is customer success. So customer success is vitally important. Renewals are so critical. So customer success is number one. So that includes things like quality, that includes features that customers have been asking about for a long time that might be hard to do. We just did, I'll summarize it. So customer success is one. Innovation is another one. And sometimes that's a small bucket. Sometimes that's a bigger bucket. And then I would just say, you know, customer feature requests is probably the third one. So, yeah. So the first one on customer success is less about customer feature requests. It's more about how we can make the product simpler to use, easier to manage, easier to update, you know, easier to configure. So a lot of operational things, you know, making it easier to monitor, you know, all of those things we think about.
Right. So really like increasing the value of their investments, right? The time to value.
The value. Yeah. What we can do to continue to minimize how much they need to support and change and configure products. So we spend a lot of time in that. Innovation, we try to do some things that are new and different. And this is really for customers on the bleeding edge. And so we have some customers. Hilton's a great one that you should have on the show sometime if you ever want a great guest. Kelly's fantastic. But they like to be on the bleeding edge of everything. I mean, they take everything new. And so they partner with us, JP Morgan Chase as well, on some of the new things that we're delivering. So we have this new advanced pay feature. We call it Pay Me Now. So we try to do some cool things around innovation and trying to think about what customers are going to like. But also the one thing that I always emphasize is I don't want to just build things that nobody's going to use. So everything that we build around innovation, we have customer sponsors that are going to put it into production and give us feedback. And then the last one is the 80% where we're looking at what customers need to make the product fit better within their organization. And so we do that. And it can be industry specific. It can be geography specific. And so we try to take a blend of those things. But that's kind of how we think about you know, filling a release up with what goes into it.
You mentioned the Oracle Anytime Pay. And I have to tell you, I mean, I'm a payroll geek at heart. I was always a generalist, but payroll, oddly, is one of my favorite parts of what an HR leader, you know, typically gets to be responsible for. So can you maybe talk a little bit about that? And I know you had some other Oracle Payroll Connect and just some other updates that are fairly current. Can you maybe talk a little bit about some of those?
Sure. So it's funny. My background is not in HR like you. I've been in development and technology all my life, but I came into the HR world about 8 years ago or 9 years ago, where I was asked to lead our HCM suite. And so I've learned a lot from all the people around me and in the industry. So Anytime Pay was a cool one. We call it Pay Me Now. And this was something that JP Morgan Chase actually requested. One of their senior executives said, hey, look, this is something we want to do from an employee loyalty perspective. And I literally, in the first meeting, I'm like, yeah, why don't we do that? I love it, you know? And so we sat down, talked to some other customers, and I thought it was super easy, right? Me being, I know how the technology works. I'm like, hey, we'll crank this out in like a release, right? And my payroll team's like, well, you know, there's some things you got to think about, like how much tax you hold, what if they have, you know, garnishment. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that you got to think about. So it took us a few releases, but so Pay Me Now is great. And it's one of these things where you can feel good about, you know, if, and you hear about these sad stories, and I will give you a sad story, but you know, if people need some extra pay for the weekend, maybe their car broke down and they need to get paid early. It's one of these things that you can give back to your employees and allow them to request pay that they've already earned before, you know, the 2 week pay period is up. So I love it from that perspective. And when I heard it and why they wanted to do it, I was like, let's go do that thing and get it done. So sometimes those ideas come like that and we go get it done. The other one that I would just say that I'm excited about in this release, so Opportunity Marketplace is great. Journeys is probably the other new capability. So I often joke the two journeys that organizations create today is the onboarding journey. We invest a ton. Everybody wants, like, when that new candidate comes in and becomes an employee, we want to make that special, right? So they get, you know, they meet their mentor, they get backpacks, they get mouse pads, they get whatever, you know, all this great stuff. And they're like, ooh, this is the best company to work for. And then we don't do anything for them from a journey perspective to grow their career, anything like that, for the next, you know, whatever years, term they have at the company. And then we offboard them where we ask them to rate their manager and then give all that stuff back, right? So Journeys was really this idea. Can we create these these experiences in between the onboarding, the offboarding process, where it can be like a return to work experience or grow your career experience, or you got married experience, where some of it can be administrative, like make sure you do these things, but some of it can be, you know, find your next skill or go to opportunity marketplace to look for, you know, a short-term gig that you can grow your skills here, or check in with your mentor. So we can help guide employees to, you know, grow their career more or move around the organization, or, you know, make sure they're connecting with the right people. So this journeys concept is something simple, fun, but also I think it can help employees feel like they're valued for what they do within the organization.
That's a great, I just want to make one comment about the anytime pay, and maybe this is Trish, you're a payroll person, and maybe I'm crazy on this. I think there will be a time, and I don't think this time is in the too distant future, where the old notion of the pay cycle, the biweekly, the semi-monthly, the monthly, whatever it was, that's going to go away. I think that's going to be over with in maybe 10 years, maybe less.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you my idea. And if you build it, I will be your favorite, like you'll be my favorite person ever. So I always wanted pay modeling. So sort of payroll's always rear view mirror.
Yep.
I want a development team to create pay modeling. So like when I worked in healthcare, when you have like nurses who get different pay rates for different like OR, ER, whatever, like they could model out like, well, if I pick up a shift here, I get this. And it'll do this to my paycheck versus that. So there you go. There's the pay of the future.
That's a great one. And that's one of those we have on the shelf. So we will, it's not done, but we will counsel with you, Trish, and have you take a look at it and give us some feedback. One of these things that we've been dabbling with for a while, and it can get complicated, right?
Well, especially when
you get into these different hourly scenarios that you just gave, you know, but it's one of these that it's out there and we have it. We just got to figure out when we're going to plot that in. So we will follow. That's a follow-up.
There you go. I like it. So when that's ready, we'll come back on the show and we'll talk about that for sure.
Well, absolutely.
Chris, this has been so much fun. Great to have some time with you. Super excited about the Oracle Live event coming up as well. I know you are. You'll get a chance. So your HCM keynotes, right? We look forward to every year. How are we working on this yet? Are we writing the scripts? Where are we?
We've already recorded it.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So it's this is just for you.
Okay.
So
yeah, I know it's listening. Don't worry about it.
It will come by the time you watch this show, it will be out. So you'll see it. I think it's on the 29th. And it's great. I mean, you know how I love demonstrating the product. I love getting in. That's my thing. But it's hard when you don't have the audience there. So you'll see. I mean, I tried to give it my all and, you know, and be there. But when you don't have that feedback, it makes it harder. But it's fun and there's a lot of cool stuff.
We look forward to it. I encourage everybody listening to this to check out Oracle Live. Check out Chris's keynote. I know in advance you'll love it, right? Because we look forward to them every year. Super great, again, to have you here. And let's not make it another 10 years before we have you back, okay, Chris?
For sure.
We'll try to increase that. Awesome. All right, great stuff. Chris, Leon, thank you so much once again. Thanks to all our friends at Oracle for making this possible today. Trish, thank you. Great show, of course.
Oh, yes, this was fun.
You got
this
to talk wonderful. About payroll a little bit, which I know you like.
I love anything HR, you know me.
Awesome. Well, great stuff. Okay. We're going to go. This has been a great show for Chris Leon, for Trish McFarland. My name's Steve Bowes. Thank you so much for listening to the HR Happy Hour show. We will see you next time, and bye for now.